This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This stuff, as I mentioned, always confuses me. And that means, I mean, I'm probably not as smart as you, the listener, but maybe it confuses you too. I like to be able to turn to Sean Scanlon, who's a comptroller here in Connecticut, and he joins us live here in Brian & Company. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
First and foremost, who's in your Final Four?
You know what? I got a couple hours left to do my bracket. We do a bracket
challenge. You haven't done it yet?
In the office,
Sean.
And I'm a little bit conflicted, but I got till the end of the day, so I got time.
Okay. Look at the politician, even on the bracket. I mean, UConn could get bounced in the first round. I did two brackets. I had them going all the way against playing. I don't think they get St. John's in the Final Four or the final. I can't remember, but. I want a rematch of that game.
This is the true politician question, right? If I don't put UConn in the Final Four, does that look like I'm smart and reflecting reality, or am I not riding or die for my team? That's the dilemma that politicians face here.
Dangerous question.
Dangerous question. Listen,
this $200 million shortfall potentially. What I guess I always get confused, and like I said, I'm not very bright, but does this mean that? If that's true, right, does that mean either spending needs to be cut or you have to change the guardrails or you have to tap the rainy day fund? I mean, how does this work?
So a couple things. Our healthcare costs, like all healthcare plans in the United States, are skyrocketing due to two things, the cost of going to hospitals and the cost of buying drugs. And so our plan that I run, which is 250,000 people, is not any different than that. And we have been trying, like, as hard as we can to mitigate those costs. And we've been telling the governor's office, you know, where we think the numbers are. And, you know, they have to make a budget, which is a really hard thing to do. It's a snapshot in time, right? But by the time we get to June, when they have to adjourn and pass the final budget, I'm confident that we'll figure out a way to not only lower the cost that we're facing, but make sure that we have the right numbers in there.
Okay, so what do we do if they're over by this much? What happens?
Well, a couple things, right? One of the things that I'm doing is, you know, I have a lot of leverage as the comptroller for what vendors we use. And we have had a contract for a few years with a company that oversees our retiree healthcare. That's the biggest problem, Brian, is the older retirees that, you know, as they get older, they utilize healthcare a lot more than probably you or I do. And that costs us a lot of money. And we switched over to a Medicare Advantage plan prior to me taking this job. So my predecessor made that decision. Medicare Advantage is a book of business that loses a ton of money for health insurers. And a lot of them got it wrong. And that's had some pretty bad consequences for us. Plus, there's been some federal changes that have made it worse for them. So, like, it's a perfect storm right now where these people are utilizing healthcare a lot. They priced the plans wrong. Some federal changes happened, and all of that leads to the problem that we're facing. But there are solutions to that problem. Number one, we are renegotiating that contract. I decided to go out to bid rather than just accept the numbers we were getting from the current company. You know, we put this thing on the free market, and I'm confident that we'll get a better price for the plan, which will drop the overall number that Keith's article is talking about. But number two, you know, we do have options here, right? There is a trust fund that we have for healthcare. It's called the OPEB Trust Fund. There's about $3 billion in it, right? We set that up a few years ago to start saving money for these costs, and we've never used it. So obviously, I would like to protect that as long as I can. But in a break glass moment, you know, we may be able to look at that as an option. But there's a number of options that, you know, weren't in Keith's story. And I think that, you know, this is a problem, obviously, but we'll find the solution.
So, and again, like, because I, so there's not going to be some, this isn't the impetus to change the guardrails.
In my mind, no, it's not. But it's one piece of the larger puzzle. And I'm worried, Brian, based on what's happening in Washington, that this will be the least of our concerns in the next 3 months, right? You know, we are potentially facing a multi-billion-dollar cut to Medicaid. We have programmatic funding being cut left and right from different people across the state who then call us and say, hey, the feds cut us. Will you fund our program? And so, you know, I think while this is a challenge that we face as a state, it's in some ways a small challenge compared to what I think we're going to be facing with Washington.
Well, it's interesting. That's my next question was, and I can take a frame grab, but it was written down at, you know, 4:42 this morning, is how worried you are about the potential federal cuts. I mean, what sort of conversations, and again, this is, you know, there's multiple offices and dealing with this potential stuff, but like, first of all, how worried are you? And then are there active discussions about, you know, potential contingencies and what to do so you're not...
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally caught by surprise.
Well, as the CFO of the state, of course, I'm worried about multi-billion dollar potential cuts. The biggest thing I worry about is Medicaid, Brian, because this is a $6 billion program that covers 1 million kids, disabled people, seniors in nursing homes, poor working parents. A million people is a big deal. And what's happening right now in Congress is hard to understand. But a few weeks ago, they passed this giant bill called the Reconciliation Bill. And in that bill, they don't say the word Medicaid, but what they say is that the Energy and Commerce Committee, which has jurisdiction over Medicaid and Medicare, has to come up with $880 billion of cuts over the next 10 years. And there was a stat by the Congressional Budget Office, which is the nonpartisan guys that take a look at this stuff. They said that if the committee cut every single thing in its jurisdiction besides Medicaid and Medicare, they would still have to come up with $600 billion, which means to me as the math guy, there's really no way that they're not going to do some kind of cut to Medicaid. And to your question, we are actively modeling out what those different, you know, most popular theorizing cuts that they'll do based on what they've said and what's been written. But all of them are bad. And what's even worse for us is going to be the fact that they will likely try to pass this bill, Speaker Johnson says, by the middle or end of May. Well, what does that mean? That means that they may pass this gigantic bill about a week or two before the session ends, which would completely blow up our budget. So there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of people that are out there that are concerned and scared. And we're doing everything we can in my office and the governor's office just to model out different permutations and scenarios, and we're going to do the best we can to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, it makes the next, I mean, we got to go. I want to, you know, it makes the next couple of months kind of really, really strange. And I'm obviously curious of what happens. Say there's a $100, $200, $300 million hole. What do you do? Is that when you go to the rainy day fund?
Well, you know, maybe, but here's the other problem, right? We also, because of some policies in Washington and what's going on with the market, you know this better than anybody, you know, there are some increasing concerns on the market, not like 75% or 80%, but close to 50%, according to Goldman, if you believe them, that we may be heading towards a recession. And we need that rainy day fund for a recession, because the last time we had a recession, we didn't have a rainy day fund, and we spent 10 years raising taxes and cutting spending and decimating the state. So that $4 billion that we have, every rating agency says, hey, look, they're primed to weather this storm. I don't know that we can weather two storms at one time, one man-made because of what's happening in Washington when it comes to spending cuts, and the other economic, which is also, in my mind, man-made with a recession. We'll be out of that $4 billion before you know it. And I worry about that a lot. And I think we're going to have to really seriously think as a state, if we get these big cuts, what we want to do. Is it prepare for the worst that may be coming, spend a little bit of that money now to stop the bleeding, do a combination of both? Hard choices are ahead, but we can't control them, unfortunately. We're just, you know, doing our best to navigate them.
All right, Sean. Appreciate the time and the insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Brian.